and worship his holy name, and sing like never before, oh my soul, and worship his holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before,
well, good morning. We're going to do a little Thanksgiving exercise before Thanksgiving holiday because we should always be in an attitude of Thanksgiving. So I want to encourage everyone to pull out your phone or your tablet if you have it or anything that you might have photos on. And we're going to actually stand right now. Let's go ahead and stand while we have that. And what I want to do is just acquaint yourself with your pictures, because you probably took pictures of things that were meaningful for you, and it should inspire you to remember to be thankful to God. So let's have an attitude of thankfulness over what he's been doing in our lives as we sing this song. Let's pray first. God, thank you for giving us the opportunity to connect with you and each other. May you be honored by all that happens today. Amen.
As we're looking at those pictures, let's sing this verse. You're rich in love.
You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship your holy name.
On that day, and on that day, when my strength is failing and draws near, my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Holy name, sing like never before.
Anything that's good, anything that is perfect that is in our lives was placed there by you intentionally to show us your kind and loving heart towards your children. And I pray that we would be quick to remember that. Thanks for loving us the way that you do. I love the way that you love us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing along. Why don't you just turn to some folks around you, say hi, and then grab a seat, all right?
Good morning. You know, Brian just asked us to think about what we're thankful for, and you know what I'm thankful for? The band. And Josh, I just want to tell you, watching your face as you bang the heck out of those drums in worship, it moves me. So thank you. My name's Kim Botto, and I lead the Kids Club and Student Ministry teams around here. And I want to tell you about a couple things that God is doing through us that I would like for you, like to invite you to engage in. And the first thing is Thanksgiving Food Drive. Yes. Hurry up your boxes. Yes. If you do not have your box or you would like another box, this is how you participate. After service, you're going to go into the atrium, or you can go over to the annex or in the back of the building. You're going to pick up a box. They're going to give you instructions on what to do. This week, you're going to go to the store. The next weekend, you're going to come early, and you're going to go and you're going to drop off your box. And by doing that, you're going to be part of a team that is providing 85,000 meals for families here locally, yes, as well as families in South Africa. And every year when my family drops off our box, it brings me to tears to see the physical representation of our community's generosity and just the miles and miles of boxes stacked high. So we'd love for you to participate in that. Another way you can participate is through Awaited. Awaited is a creative retelling of the Christmas story, and it's a great opportunity for us to invite our friends to come here to church with us. And when our friends come, we want to provide them with a really welcoming environment, and you can be a part of being welcoming, if you're welcoming. And some ways you can do that is you can help park cars, you can help people find their seats, you can go to the website, or you can look in the program, you can actually text right now and say, yeah, I want to get involved in Awaited. We would love to have you be a part of it. And when we talk about team around here, We're also talking about kids and students. We have all kinds of things happening for them, and I want to highlight one. It's this weekend, this Friday, we're having a party just for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and it's going to be awesome and probably a little awkward too. If you are a middle schooler or know a middle schooler, we would love for you to come, and we would love for you to bring your friends. It's a great chance to bring your friends to check out church. There's information in the program on that. Now, we've just worshiped through singing. Now we have the opportunity to worship through giving of our money. And we've been trying something different the past couple weeks, and that is saying a prayer together to help prepare us to give. So I'll invite you to read this prayer that's on the screen with me. God, there is nothing I have that you have not given me. All I have and am belong to you because of Jesus' sacrifice. To spend everything on myself and to give without sacrifice is the normal way of the world. But generosity is the way of those who follow Jesus, who love him with free hearts and serve him with renewed minds. I am determined to increase in generosity until it can be said that there is no needy person among us. I am determined to be trustworthy with such a little thing as money, that you may trust me with riches other than money. Above all, I am determined to be generous because you, Father, are generous. It is the delight of your daughters and sons to share your traits and show what you're like to the world. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. We believe that God has lots more work to do through our giving. But right now, we just want to celebrate the amazing, incredible things that he's already done this year because of your generosity and your passion. So thank you for giving. Take a look.
I believe people are dying on the sea of despair in our region every day. I believe people are on islands of loneliness, islands of fruitlessness, islands of disturbances that only Jesus' words and the power of a local church can address. That's what we do. We connect seekers to a community of growing Christ followers who are changing the world, and we will do anything short of sin because we want to go after people.
Before I knew Jesus, I just couldn't breathe.
You know, I was chasing things that I had no idea what I was chasing. I needed to be or felt this need to be somebody I wasn't.
Everything hurt. Life hurt. My relationships hurt. I really didn't feel like it was ever gonna change.
I did not believe in Jesus. I disassociated myself with Jesus and Jesus' people.
I started to become more self-focused, and I started to feel like I had this ability to kind of control my world.
I mean, literally, I woke up one day and just announced to my roommate, I don't think I believe this anymore.
A friend of mine told me about this church.
I remember looking around and seeing people that, to me, seemed to be at a peace and at a place where I wanted them.
I didn't feel any judgment. I felt it was genuine.
They was just open arms and accepting no matter where I fit in at.
Crossroads for me, I see that it goes beyond the four walls, and I've not experienced that before.
Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So, out of our heart, we're supposed to be being filled with God and regularly giving out, blessing others, filling others. When this happens, God has his ways. When this happens, God's people have God's ways. When this happens, we're operating the way God has wanted us to operate, and it is gratifying. It's gratifying. We're going to continue to bring water.
I don't want anyone to get comfortable watching the world change. I want you to get in the game and be a part of the world getting changed. I want that for everybody here. And actually, I want that so bad, I'm willing to agitate you to get you to do it.
I want students to feel like they aren't alone, like they have a team, like they have a God who's fighting for them, a Father who's fighting for them and who loves them and who forgives and is redeeming. And I want students to know who they are and who God is in their world right now in college, not when they're 35.
There is no they. There is no they. It's you and it's me. It's us. That is who changes things in our city. It's us. And so I would just remind us from the very start that this place is not about some organization that we feed with our money and our volunteer hours. This is about us and the heart that we have for the people in our city.
The best thing about being here tonight is its confirmation. It's all about people. This building is fabulous, but it's really what's going to happen inside here that makes all the difference.
I really wanted to get involved more at Crossroads because I wanted to grow.
That was when I started studying the Bible, started building my relationship with God instead of religion.
I think it's really opened my eyes to a lot of things about myself and my relationship with God.
There's a God whenever somebody turns from going after their own petty stuff to going after the stuff of God. That's a miracle. That does not happen outside of God. It's a miracle. Anytime someone says, I'm not going to be about my own life, I'm going to be about the life of Christ. That's a miracle because humanly that does not happen. It's a miracle whenever someone says, I'm going to have someone else dictate my life, and that person I'm never even going to see with my eyes until I get to heaven. That's a miracle. It's the greatest wonder on God's green earth.
Could God really make something beautiful out of me?
I felt a clear calling from God to step away from this.
So I surrendered everything to God. I let go.
I chose to trust that God had a plan.
Only then did I begin to experience pure joy, freedom, peace, strength that comes only from the healing power of Christ.
We have purpose, freedom, and peace like never before.
That's what God does. He brings dead things back to life with his love. That's what he does all the time. And it doesn't just stop there. This love is powerful enough to change a family. I don't know what your family story is, but if it's a broken family story of love, God's love can change your family. God's love can change our city. God's love can change a nation. God's love has literally changed the world, but it starts with letting it change you.
Caving in right now, and without him, I don't know what I would do. I just want to take this stand for him. And like Courtney said, it's not like some magical thing in the water, but it's just my profession for him that I'm not perfect, but I know he loves me, and I want to make this stand for him.
I'm turning away from hate and anger and resentment.
Lies, cheating, stealing.
I spent pretty much my whole life looking for love in all the wrong places. And really what it took was community and critical skills, strongholds, and my daughter in this community here to help me to realize that all I needed was God. And all I needed was Jesus Christ.
I just want to heal and move forward in my life. Help show my son the way that a man should be with the Lord.
Just time and time again, he's just shown us something we thought bad happened turned out to something good. And at that moment, I knew that it was real.
I'm free. I'm feeling joy. And the love in our family is getting stronger. And to have them all make this declaration tonight is just doesn't get any better than this.
We go to where people are in difficulty, separated from God, and when are we done going after people? As soon as every single person had an option to get on a boat, get in a church that speaks a language they understand to come into relationship with Jesus, and we want to be the people who go. Yes, man. Well done, team, well done. Great, great, great things happening this year. And who wants more of that? Who wants more of that? I do. I want more of that. Gosh. You know, next week we're all going to be able to participate. If you get in a box, and we're going to see people swarm all over the place, and 85,000 meals are going to come out of us. It's going to be awesome. We got a big thing where people are given time, hopefully about 5,000 of us, to make a waited happen with tens and thousands of people all around Cincinnati. We're going to be mobilizing that way. And today, we're mobilizing in a way that we're trying to grow in our generosity. We're talking about money today. Some of you are brand new today. It's your first time. Like, oh my goodness, looks like I picked the wrong day to come to Crossroads. Yes, you did. Actually, no, you didn't. You're going to find out something about us. You might feel like you walked into a buzzsaw, but it's great to have you with us. Others of us, you knew this was coming because we've been talking about this, and way to go. Well done. We're going to be filling these in later on for those of us who want to be a we financially. And let me just say, my expectation is, you know, someone who is tithing, giving 10% on a $40,000 salary, my expectation is like, God's just affirming you, like, hey, keep on going. This is not some idea of we're all sucking ourselves dry, emptying all of our accounts, bleeding till we die. We've had times like that. This is not one of those times. We're just trying to say, our team, we need an infusion of people who are engaged financially and are in on the team, and we're going to make that simple for us today. So before we go any further, let me pray for us. God, thank you very much for being here today. I know a lot of people would not want to talk about this stuff, but I'm excited to talk about it. I'm excited to talk about it because I know it's at the heart of whether or not we want you or we want something else. And I want people to want you and have you and be incorporated into your purposes. So help me to be clear today, helpful, and may you be pleased with all that is said and with all that is acted upon today. And I pray these things according to your character, the person of Jesus. Amen. Well, I was thinking, gosh, what passage of the Bible do I want to share today? Because as you know, we've got some big things facing us, whether it's a permanent site in Clifton, expanding West Side, some things in Florence, other things all over the world we want to be able to pour resources in. And I've had a number of things that have been on my heart thinking about them. I couldn't pick out which one I want to talk about. So you're going to get two stories from the Bible today. Can you handle it? Can you handle two stories? I think you can. I think we have the smart kids in here today. The first one is they're both very interesting. That's why I've been thinking about them a lot. First one is King David of the nation of Israel. They're fighting the Philistines. The Philistines have sort of taken over a part of the country around Bethlehem, which is right where David grew up. He grew up and was shepherding sheep outside of Bethlehem in this area. And while he is sort of under siege, he's got a group of people with him. He starts longing and just articulating out loud the water that he misses and the mineral content and the flavor that came from it when he was a boy tending sheep. So let's pick up the story from there. And David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me before my God that I should do this. Shall I drink the lifeblood of these men? For at the risk of their lives they brought it." Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. David longs for this water. People go get it. They risk themselves, come back, and he pours it out in front of them. Sounds rude. Why would he do that? We're going to get to that later on. But the first thing I want to focus on in this story is mighty men. Who the heck are the mighty men? I mean, I thought David was mighty. Yes, he was mighty. This guy was an amazing warrior. He was a Renaissance man who wrote poetry. He was a musician. He also had a blue-collar working past the shepherder. This dude is amazing, and yet we see why he's able to do as much as he does. It's because he leverages the power of we. Power comes from we. So why we've called this series We. We have a redemptive potential and power in our church. The more of us act like we, and the more you in your own personal life act like an I, the less power you will have. Power always comes from we. I don't know if you've noticed on various news outlets, the guy who apparently shot Osama bin Laden, part of SEAL Team 6, has come forward and is claiming that he had done it. And, you know, the special forces community is totally up in arms over this. Why is that? It's because he broke the code. The code of the special forces is we do these things and no individual gets glory. And he's gone out and he's getting glory. And so therefore, they're coming against him. I think it's fascinating here that this story talks about the three mighty men. David had this circle around him who are called the mighty men. And many of us have never heard of the mighty men, can't name all of the mighty men, but there was a bunch of them. These were not just people who were in the nation of Israel. These were people who said, no, I'm in, I'm a we. We have, in many ways, Crossroads is like a nation. It's large, you can kind of be a part of Crossroads, inside the borders of Crossroads, but at the same time, not really be at the center of the action, never really be a we. You can refer to Crossroads as they or you guys, and it shows us that I'm really not in. I want today more mighty men and women at Crossroads. I want more mighty men and women who just hear and sense the desires of God and they say, I'm going to do it. That's what these mighty men do. They go, I'm overhearing. He's asking. I'm going to get on it. We don't know if they kill their way through the Philistines or they sneak through, but they come back with this water. We have mighty men here. We have mighty women. I want more of them. We want more of them. The other night we had an awesome event for the blue team, people who sacrificially give here, and we want more people on the blue team. The blue team was an amazing event. People came together and we had a party, and then we had amazing worship, probably the best worship I've ever had in my life in this room. Why? It's because when you have a couple thousand plus people whose hearts are all for God more than their heart is for money, you have spiritual potency that just elevated the place. I love that. One of the emails I got coming back from it was this. Tonight gave me the chance to personally thank a dear friend who invited me to Crossroads many years before our family joined, i.e. he planted the seed that eventually sprouted. It's great. One of our codes is we invite people. So this person got invited in, came to know Christ apparently. They grew in their generosity to the place where they're tithing, and they're a part of the blue team. This is great. See, the reason why this doesn't happen as much as it should is because this is a spiritual issue. There's a reason why our stomach is grumbling right now, and you're thinking, why is he saying that? How about this over here? Because I could talk about anything, and you wouldn't have the internal conversation going as much as you do right now because there's a spiritual power about money and about giving. This is why we've been praying for one another all week. It's been cool to see photos that have been popping up on social media. People's got pictures on refrigerators, on microwaves, praying for one another because this is a spiritual issue. To become a part of a we is a spiritual thing, and specifically to take the thing that most people hold as the number one thing in their life, which is money, and to actually give it away for God's purposes is very, very counterintuitive. Second big idea is this. Being a we comes with a cost. Being a we comes with a cost. There's nothing that you and I are really a part of that doesn't cost us. And you really can't be a part of a faith community, of a spiritual community, without saying, yes, this is costing me in some way, shape, or form. I hear people say, it's easy to, I give my time. I don't even give my money. Anybody can write a check. Anybody who says anybody can write a check obviously has not written many checks recently. Who says it's easy to write a check and give it away? Who's that? Not me. Some people might raise your hand. It's because you have the supernatural spiritual gift of giving. There is such a thing. There is a supernatural spiritual gift of giving. It's easy for some people. That's the vast majority. It has never been easy for me. The reason I do it, our family does it, is because we want to be on the page of God. And it inclines our heart towards God. There's always a cost whenever you want to be a part of God's ways. There just always is. Well, we passed that bag earlier on, and for a lot of us, the extent of our giving is the guilt offering. The guilt offering, it's bags come by, okay, I got some papers there, I'll throw that in there. I got a Target card, fine, I'll put a Target card in there. And that's okay. If that's where your heart is and that's where you're growing at this point, that's cool. But there comes a place where we have to grow and start to come to maturity and to realize, no, God has blessed me and he's inviting me into things. And when he does that, it means I have to be in. I have to be in. And my giving has to follow. The other story that I've been pondering about a lot recently is from the book of Judges. Judges is before kings started to lead the nation of Israel. They would have these judges who would govern and sort of oversee things. They were military leaders. And one of these judges in Israel's early history was Gideon. And the nation of Israel is going to fight against the Midianites. And Gideon gets his whole army. They gets them together, getting ready to fight. And let's take a look at what happens. It's a bit unusual. Judges chapter 7. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people knelt down to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. And let all the others go, every man to his home." So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. This is the original 300. They should make a movie out of this thing. It's the original. Although they weren't dressed in as cool things as the Spartans were in 300, but this is the original 300. And there's a lot of uncertainty about what's happening here. I've recently gotten some clarity with this, just being in the environment and being over in Israel recently, that's really taken my awareness of this passage to a whole new level. Some people would say, well, the reason why these people were dismissed, who were drinking like dogs, is because dogs were disgusting creatures. They weren't like your dog, Brian. You know, Winston, we've heard, is a 130-pound lovable slobbering mutt. He is. He's not a mutt, but I love him. He's phenomenal. But back in the olden days, dogs were disgusting creatures no one wanted. So when someone was looking like a dog, God decided to dismiss it. Some people say, but maybe that's why. Okay, well, perhaps. But then there's other people who are not drinking like a dog, because dogs can't use their paws. But so what's going on with them? Other people say, well, what's happening here is God is reducing the force of people so that when there is victory, the people can't get glory, but God actually will get glory because he's done it. Yeah, I think there's something there. I think it's an absolute good principle. I think there's something there, but there's something more that's really happening here. Who's dismissed? Two types of people are dismissed from the army here. One is drinking like a dog. How do you drink like a dog? Like this. You're down, can you see my tongue on the screen? Can you? I can't hear. Yes? Whenever the preacher man is on his knees and you can see his tongue, that's a good day at church right there. So some people are down like this, drinking like this. Others are like this, drinking like, and what's the common denominator? The knees. In fact, it's called out, the knees. In ancient cultures, to bow to a deity was known as bending the knee, bowing the knee. So these are people who are bending the knee, bowing the knee. It's a phrase that's used very frequently in the Bible for bowing down to a false deity, bowing down to somebody who is not the one true God. So what's happening here? What's happening here is we're seeing the habits and the values of a percentage of the army of the nation of Israel. See, here's the thing. Anything that you value, I know you value it if you have a habit that supports it. In fact, anything that you habitually do is tied to a value. So in our house, we habitually have family night dinners around the table. We talk, ask what's your best, what's your worst today, that whole thing. Why is it? It's because we have a value of having a cohesive family. So if you have a value, you have to have something that's habitual or the value won't happen. Some of us work out. Why do you work out? You work out because you have a value of being healthy, physically healthy. And part of the reason why some of us don't have that habit and we keep kind of falling off it is because it's just something you don't value. That's okay. Everyone does that. But whatever you value, you will have a habit to. Why is it that some of us are habitual, voracious readers? It's not because you have nothing better to do and you don't want to have a cable bill, though that's part of it, maybe. It's because you have a value of developing your mind, increasing in information knowledge, and therefore you have a habit. So anything that you value, you will have a habit. And whatever I see in your life that's habitual, it tells me what you value. So what's happening here, these people are habitually bending the knee to the god Baal, the false. They're so when they go down to drink water, like, water, they habitually bend the knee, whereas those who worship the true God, they're not habitually bending the knee to Baal at all. They're drinking their water. So God dismisses those who are going after a false god. Now, I like the fact that it's not like God says, kill them. Just send them back. They're not ready. Not ready, not qualified. What we do here, the normal thing in the nation of America, every nation around the world, I'm sure, the normal thing is to bow to the God of money. The money tells us what to do. But when you bow to the one true God, you tell your money what to do. You tell your money what to do. It doesn't tell you what to do. In the normal God of America, giving is always the last thing. You habitually save if you value your saving. You habitually spend if you value new trinkets and new electronic gizmos. Until you come to a place where you habitually, it's the first decision you give, you do not serve the one true God. You do not. You habitually do the things that you value. And today, we get to value the one true God. We get the opportunity to continue to value the one true God, or for the first time, value the one true God. I ran across somebody who's a part of We, part of our team, some time ago, and I thought, gosh, what an amazing story. Do you mind if we shared that sometime? And she just recently was okay with sharing it, going public with it, and I think we'll all benefit from part of We, Jane. Check her out.
Where was, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, nothing to God and everything to God, where was tithing? I'm an American. I was raised to be materialistic. I teach marketing. I teach people how to buy. So on the one hand, even though I claim to say, oh, I'm a good person and money's not that important, I don't know how it cannot be important given my socioeconomic status in life and what I do for a living. And so... I would say it was probably midway. Things were going okay. Career was going okay, family was going okay, marriage was going okay. But I knew there was something, you know, I knew there was more than just getting tenure. I knew there was more than just making more money, getting a raise. And I decided I needed to go to the Bible. You know, like, what is this? I've been going to church all my life, but never really read the Bible. And meanwhile, I'd had a couple of friends, another marketing professor who was also a Christ follower. We were at a marketing conference for academics, and we had gotten on the conversation, and she had talked to me about tithing, and I really valued her opinion. I thought, wow, this is really interesting. So, I started looking at it, and I came across this verse, and it was Malachi. In fact, Brian quoted it a couple of weeks ago, and it struck me because it was the verse about take. You know, tithe and tithe, and then watch the storehouse. You'll have all that you need. And then the end of the verse is, test me on this. And I had studied the Bible enough to say, whoa, do not test the Lord your God. But in fact, on that one, he was saying, test me on this, tithe and test me on this. I can vividly remember I was at the kitchen counter and I wrote the check out. And we were not destitute, but you know what? We've got three kids and, you know, things are expensive, da, da, da. So I just took my breath away and I looked at that check. And I wish I could say, oh, yeah, and I just put it in the envelope and I felt good. No. What I did was I prayed and I said, you know, God, I don't know how you're going to get this to the end of the month here. You know, don't quite understand how this is going to work. And in my mind, I was mentally thinking, okay, Jane, it's only 1 month. It's only 1 month. You can make it up. You can scrimp and save that up. So I was not exactly, you know, jumping in the deep end. But I said, okay, you said, I'm going to trust you on this one, 1 month. Okay. And I wrote out the check, sealed the envelope, and sent it. End of the month came, we were fine. I have no recollection of scrimping on anything or, you know, being without anything. We were fine. I said, well, okay, let's do it another month. So beginning of the month, I wrote the check again. And lo and behold, we get to the end of the month, we're doing fine. So it became a habit. And then even when times, you know, income would come and go. Even when difficult times, we still tithe. Now, the percentage, you know, the amount would go down, but it was still the 10%. We've never gone without what we need. We've always had what we needed. Always had what we've needed. My background is, you know, I've got a PhD. I'm trained to teach marketing. I'm trained to teach business. And if I would walk in and say to my students, okay, students, now today we're going to talk about personal finance. And, you know, I really want, you know, I want you to know how to handle your money. And so the first thing I want you to do is I want you to give 10% of your income to the church. They would look at me like I'm stark raving mad. And I'd say, well, how does that work? What's the theory? What's the model? What are the equations? And I'd say, you know what? I don't know all that, but here's what I can tell you. Here's what the Bible says. Go ahead. Test. Test the Lord your God. And I guarantee you, it is going to come to pass. And I think the thing that just amazes me is that whole idea of, well, let me get this straight. To make money, you give 10% away. You know, nobody is going to say that in a classroom. You know, put that on a test, you're going to fail. But in fact, that's what God says. He turns the kingdom upside down. And I just love the fact that just is so anti-human that, you know, to give away is really the best way to get. Give it away. Give away the 10%. And I just love that verse.
It's really interesting, because that's a way, if you've been around any length of time, that's an angle to tithing that I don't really talk about that much. And in fact, I've gotten, reprove is a nicer word than rebuke. I basically just got rebuked over email the other day, because guy was saying to me, you know, you talk about sacrificing, and you decide to give, and it means you're not going to have things you could have. You're not going to go have vacations you could have had. You're not going to have savings you could have had. He said, but I got to tell you, my experience is entirely different as I've given. It's kind of grown and all that kind of stuff. And I've had a number of people say that to me. I'm like, yeah, you're right. There is an other side of the equation here that I don't often talk about, because on the front end, you never give or tithe because it's God's get-rich-quick scheme. That's abusive, that's unhealthy, that's unbiblical. Totally. You never, on the front end, you got to go, okay, I'm going to have to make some changes in my life. And in all likelihood, you're going to make some changes to your life. But at the same time, God does tell us to test him. And there's stuff on the back end that's amazing. This is why Jesus says in the book of Luke, he says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I don't know all the blessings that are coming to my life right now as a result of my giving. As I said before, Lib and I are, we've been well beyond for a tithe for a long time, trying to grow in that area, like grow in the areas of our prayer, grow in the areas of relationships, growing every year. So every year we want to continue growing. And I have no idea, as we've done that, I have no idea what blessings that I have as a result of it. I don't know. I hear stories about people tithing and all of a sudden they get a check in the mail out of nowhere. And it's like, awesome. I go, man, I wish I had that happen once. That would be great. But I've had other things. I don't know exactly which of them are tied to my tithing or which ones are something like, I wonder, why did I get the job at Crossroads? It's a pretty good gig. Honestly, I've interacted with enough pastors to know not every pastor tithes. I don't know if it came down to me and other folks. That's why I got the nod. Very well. I don't know. Why is it that my adult kids, two have tall kids and another 16-year-old, all my kids love to spend time with me, I think. Or at least they're smart enough to make me think that I think that they want to spend time with me. No, my kids, though, why is it? I don't know. Did us tithing create a culture of selflessness in the family that's caused us to be bound together? I can't remember the last time anybody in our family was in the emergency room. Has there been a covering over our family because of that? I know one dude who's got this old American truck back when Americans weren't making very good trucks. The only people making trucks, they weren't very good. And he had this old truck. I think he still probably has it. It's got like 160,000 miles on it, on the transmission. And he's convinced that God's allowing his transmission to keep going because he tithes. He's convinced that there's no, I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is this. Jesus says it. The Bible says it over and over again. There are things that you will not have until you're a we. And the way you're a we is you become a tither. The way you come in and you mark away that I'm not into the false god of America, which is all about money. I'm going to start with saying, no, God, you're the one true God. I'm going to bring you my best. And it's always my first. We worship the one true God. This is why we have that song. Did I say we worship the one true God? Is that my third point? Yeah, there we go. We worship the one true God. We're going to do a song in a bit that we wrote, we've been doing for a couple months. And one of the lines of the song is, we will seek your face and not your hands. We'll seek your face. And I can't get that high. Seek your face, not your hands. So anyway, what's that mean? Seek your face, not your hands. It means, God, we want to worship you. We want to seek your face. When you seek someone's face, what happens? You see their face, you understand who they are. You see a hand, you have no idea who it is, right? You don't know. But the face, you look at my face, you go, oh, I never saw a scar above the eye. Yeah, I was running and fell into a coffee table. Oh, what's that little scar? Yeah, you know something about me. I fell out of a bunk bed at Indian Guides. Oh, and those nostrils are a little bit big. Yeah, I pick my nose every once in a while. I mean, these are the things. That was a 10 o'clock special. I should have hit that all the other services. Darn. I'll have to do that tomorrow or tonight, whatever it is. So we will seek your faith. We want your identity, God. Versus the normal way is we want God because we want his hand. God, give me your blessings. God, give me the raise. God, give me the date. God, give me the accolades. And so true worshipers of God say, God, no, I want you. And the hand may come with it, but I'm not seeking your hand. That's what the false gods want. I want to seek your face. And that's what we do. We worship the one true God. And we follow in the line of people who do that as well. David, when he pours out that water on the ground, you would think that the mighty men would be offended. Dude, I just risked my life for you. And you go do that? Would make them ticked off, right? I would think so. But no, they understand David's heart, and they have the same heart. It's a heart of worship. And David is offering up worship to God by pouring out his water and saying, God, this is yours, because I'm not worthy of this sort of devotion. Only you are worthy of this sort of devotion. People continually pour out their water in the scripture. We saw one last week. Nation of Israel, when they're under drought, Elijah, he asked people to come, and they give their water. They pour their water out on the sacrifice. Three successive waves. We will always need new waves of we who are part of Crosses who are going to come forth and bring their water while the rest of us are still bringing water. We see Gideon and his people, they're bowing down to the water. People are bowing down to Baal instead of bowing down to God. We're not bowing down to the water here. We want to bow down to the one true God. And when you bow down to the one true God, you know he's the one true God because you're releasing your water. And where do we get our cue from? It's not all these great Old Testament stories. Our ultimate cue is from Jesus himself, who poured out his water. He had a spear stuck in his side, and water gushed forth from his side. He was nailed for my sins and your sins on a cross, and he poured out his blood. It's what the book of Mark says. This is the blood of my covenant, Jesus says, which is poured out for many. Jesus poured out himself for us and everybody who will be a part of we and his team. We regularly pour ourselves out for our city, for our friends, for our world. Now, right now, I thought about this. I got to have some like pithy clothes, something inspirational. And I got nothing. I got nothing for you. Nothing else for you. This is going to be for the rest of us to say, man, I'm going to be a we and I'm going to be a mighty one. I'm going to go to a different drummer. I'm going away. So, let's get on it. Here we go. We have these cards right here. And as I said, some of us are like where you are is exactly where God wants. Wonderful. We're not trying to like suck the life out of everybody here. And you're going to put that as a month. First of all, let's do the easy stuff. Put your name on there, your last name. You don't even have to pray about that. You should know those ones. Email address. Check what site you are, which of course all of us here are Oakley. It helps us understand how individual sites are growing. And then some of us, perhaps we're going to continue our faithful march to tithing. We're going to up it a percent or two as we get to a place of tithing. Others of us, God's blessed us and we're beyond the tithe or we're at the tithe and we're going to keep marching and perhaps go further. That's between you and God. And also, we're asking those of us who can and feel so led over the next 14 months so we can figure out and forecast and put some stuff down on new projects we know God's asking us to. If there's a one-time gift you're planning on making sometime in the next 14 months, go ahead and do that. So I want you to kind of sit with this, pray about it, fill it out if you want to do something on the back because that's sort of your thing, you're a journaler. Go do that while we just sort of sit in a worshipful and contemplative mode. God, thank you for giving us examples of great people and bringing great people to Crossroads, to the nation of Crossroads. But we want more people that are not just the nation, we want those who are mighty. So may you be pleased with what takes place in a few moments. Okay, let me do one more thing. First thing we're going to do is we're gonna worship the one true God through using our voice, if that's something that you want to do. We're going to do that first. So let's just kind of hang on those cards. But every time I weenie out when I get to this point, so I'm not going to weenie out today. Yes, I heard. Thank you very much. But I've really gone before God on this. I just want to make sure this is dummy proof. Intentions here mean nothing to God. God is never impressed by anything that is our intention. God is only and ever receiving worship when we follow through. That's it. So whatever we're doing right now in these cards doesn't mean anything until we follow through. And I want to encourage those of us to set up a habit. If you don't set up a habit, you will not do it. You will not. And the best way that I've found and others have found to do habits, if you're doing something that's sort of a monthly thing because it's based on a salary that's pretty predictable, you don't work on commission or some such thing, or maybe part of your salary is base, is to do e-gift. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to show you how you would do that. You would actually go on to crossroads.net/give, say, okay, here I am, and then you would say, here's what I want. You would go set up and modify an e-gift. It's not working again. I don't understand this. Two times in a row. Video control room. And it's not working. I wanted to show you first couple steps so that it would not be the first time you've gone there. Okay, it's going to scroogey me over again. It's all right. The demons are messing with our iPads to keep it from giving. That's what's happening here. Not necessarily. But anyway, I want you to be a little bit familiar with the site. You have to create a user account. You can go on. You can put it to your bank routing number if that's good for you. It doesn't cost Crossroads any more money. If you want to do your credit card, it costs a little bit of money, fine, but who cares? But if you're getting your little premium points, whatever, we're not going to split hairs. But go on and figure out what works for you if you're going to be habitual on that. Why don't we stand right now? The first thing, let's worship God through singing right now. Before anything happens, let's just bring water before God by telling him with our voices and our prayers that we want him to be pleased with us.
Call us out to the unknown, uncertain. You call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will look to you, the author of our lives. Whatever pleases you will be our plan. We're trading what we have for what we'll last. And we will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our plan. Where the road will lead, we are empty, we are broken. We're strong and there seems nowhere to run. We will trust you, you are with. We will look and we will look to you, the author of our lives. Whatever pleases, whatever pleases you will be our path. We trade what we have for what we'll lack. We will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
All right, as we continue to give God worship by singing and honoring him, let's go ahead, for those who want to, let's bring our water forward. Let's bring our water and fill up the containers. You can come down all these stairs here on the side, stairs in the middle. Let's come forth. And if that's something you want to do out of worship right now, let's go ahead and do that while we continue to connect with them through praise, praying, set to music. Bring your water.
When we hear your voice, when you call us out to the unknown, uncertain, we will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. And we will look to you, the author of our lives. Whatever pleases you will be our path. We're trading what we have for what we lack. And we will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our path. When we cannot see, when we cannot see just where the road will lead, we are empty, we are broken. When the enemy is strong and there seems nowhere to run, we will trust you, you are with us. And we will look to you, author of our lives. Whatever pleases you will be our path. We're trading what we have for what we lack. And we will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our path. When we cannot see just where the road will lead, we are broken. When the enemy is strong and there seems nowhere to run, we will trust you, you are with us. We will look to you, the author of our lives. We will look to you and we will look to you.
So good, so good. I didn't tell anybody to leave. Everyone's leaving. We got the 300 left in here right now. Yes, the faithful 300. Just having fun. Good, good stuff. Love the environment here. Here's what we're going to do. That's some of us are still processing. That's fine to process. Some of us just want to kind of soak in the moment. We're done. We're going to do another song that for you can be exit music if you got to go, or if you still want to kind of hang on the moment, you're more than willing to do it. It's a song that we did earlier about how thankful we are for what God has given us. So God, thank you for today, and thank you for all the warriors, all the mighty men and women that you have given our church, that you have included in your kingdom. And you're good, God. You are. Amen.
Worship your holy name.